Hello, everybody, and welcome. With Bob Christopher, this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live in the good news of Jesus Christ. Our listener lines are open, and we'll welcome your calls now at 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question, or if you're dealing with some difficult personal issue, let us hear from you. The lines are open, so call now, 844-322-2742, because it's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, the lines are wide open, 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. If you have a Bible passage that you would like to discuss, to get some clarification on, maybe a problem situation that you're going through, right now is the perfect time to call, 844-322-2742. That number is toll-free here in the United States and Canada. So if you're listening right now, go ahead and grab that phone and give us a call. We would love to talk with you today on Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher. We've been talking about the results of the resurrection for you and me. How did God make that event, that historical event that happened 2,000 years ago, relevant to you in your life right here, right now? And here's a great passage in the book of Colossians that gives us some very practical application to the resurrection of Jesus Christ in your day-to-day life. So it says in chapter 2, verse 20, if with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, so you died with Christ when you put your faith in the good news of Jesus Christ, you died with Christ. He came into this world. He inhabited a body that God the Father had prepared for him. He offered that body as a once-for-all sacrifice. He died for your sins. And when you trust Jesus, when you believe that good news of Jesus Christ, God places you into the death of Jesus. He baptizes you into the death of Jesus. And so he says here that you have died to the elemental spirits of this world. Why then, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulation? So here's what Paul is saying to us, that when we believe the gospel, we died to the things of this world. We died to the ways of this world. We died to how the world transacts business, so to speak. We've died to all that. That's now in our past. That was our old way of living. And Paul is saying, since you've died, why do you go back to that? Why do you go back to those rules and regulations? And that's his questions. Why do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. None of those things work. I like to say, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch does not work. It doesn't work in our lives anymore. Why? Because we've died with Christ. So he says, now those things are according to human precepts and teachings, and they indeed have an appearance of wisdom that looks sometimes like the wise thing to do. But here's the problem. They are of no value to stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Why do we resort back to those rules and regulations? Because we think those are necessary to help us curb the desires of the flesh, to help us keep from giving in to the worldly passions and temptations. But those things don't work. That's the old way of living. And if you recall, in that old way of living, you were mastered by sin and death. You were under the power of sin and death, and you resorted to those rules and regulations to find some sense of freedom. But the more you tried, the tighter the trap was around you. So you had to die to that so that you could be raised to live a new way. And that's exactly what Paul says in chapter 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, or since you have been raised with Christ. So you died with Christ, and now it says you have been raised with Christ. And since you've been raised with Christ, instead of seeking the elemental things of this world, Paul says, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So we no longer need to look to the world to help solve our problems or to help get us through trials and tribulations. Why? Only thing the world has to offer are rules and regulations and rituals and those sort of things. And they may appear wise, they may appear like the things to do, but they're not going to do anything as far as stopping the indulgences of the flesh. We need to look elsewhere. And since we've been raised with Christ Jesus, let's look to him, to where he is seated above all things at the right hand of God the Father. So we are to set our things that are above, not on the things that are here on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That's where we now live. Well, yes, our earthly lives are lived out on planet Earth in the world system, but our real life is in Jesus. We are hidden with him. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. So what's the practical implication of the resurrection of Jesus Christ for you? It's the fact that you've died to the world system. You died to how you once lived. You've been raised with Christ Jesus, and your life is hidden with Christ. Christ is your life. So look to him. Whenever you're going through problems, whenever you're going through circumstances that seem to be overwhelming, think back on the fact that you've been raised with Christ Jesus, and let your eyes turn to him. He is your source of life right now. And so look to him, and you can get through this traveling down a whole new way of living called resurrection living. So how is the resurrection relevant to you today? Well, it's your new way of life. It's your new way of doing things. It is directly opposed to how you used to do things when you were lost, dead in trespasses and sins, following the ways of this world. That's how you used to do it, but you've died and you have been raised with Christ Jesus. Look to him and follow the new way of life that is through the Spirit of God. Well, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher. Thank you for joining us on today's edition of Basic Gospel. We're so glad you are here with us. We're just praying that this 30 minutes will be a great source of encouragement for you in your day-to-day walk with Jesus Christ. We have a wonderful resource that we want to put in your hands. You know, oftentimes when you talk about Christianity out there in the world, people will raise all kinds of objections. And one of the biggest things that is raised is the fact of the resurrection. Was Jesus Christ really raised from the dead? And there are many people out there, even though they've heard the story time and time again, they just flat out don't believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. They make up stuff to explain the empty tomb, things like somebody stole the body, all kinds of stuff. But they just don't believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Well, how do you engage with them? How do you get them to examine the historical evidence? How do you get them to take a deeper look? How do you prove the case that Jesus Christ was indeed raised from the dead? Well, we have a wonderful resource that can help you in those types of conversations. It's called Proof. We want to put it in your hands, and it's our way of saying thank you to you this month for your gift to Basic Gospel. And when you give to Basic Gospel, you are helping us tell the story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ through media airwaves, not only throughout the United States, but in Canada and with our internet partners all around the world. So your gift is significant in helping to tell the story that Jesus Christ is alive, that Jesus Christ was indeed raised from the dead. And because he was raised from the dead, people have the opportunity to also be raised with him, to walk in the newness of life. So go to basicgospel.net to make your gift to Basic Gospel this month. And while you are doing that, be sure and request your copy of Proof. It's a CD series. We will get that into your hands as quickly as possible. And I know it will be a blessing in your own life. It will give you a real solid foundation of knowing beyond all doubt that Jesus Christ was indeed raised from the dead and what that means to you. And it will equip you to share with others this good news of Jesus Christ. Again, go to basicgospel.net, click the donate button, and follow all the instructions right there. Well, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher. We have a couple of phone calls waiting, but we do have room there for you and time on the clock. So go ahead and call 844-322-2742. Let's go down to Temple, Texas, and talk to Duran. Hi, Duran.
Hey, how y'all doing?
We're doing well. What's on your mind today?
Well, I just had a couple questions about tongues and prophecy.
Okay.
I'm getting more clear to understanding about it because God has revealed to me the truth on it in the book of Acts, what exactly is. But, and it's like I'm hearing, this is what I've heard, and I know it's not true that someone told me that that tongues were basically heavenly tongues. Like it was so spiritual that maybe that the apostles wasn't able to write them down in the scriptures or something, some nonsense like that. Like, it was so hard to explain heavenly tongues, so they didn't write it down. Basically, they were trying to justify them speaking in so-called heavenly tongues. But I know it's not in the Bible. So,
well, no, as far as tongues are concerned, when we look at the book of Acts, and we see it, for example, in Acts chapter 2, we see the apostles standing up, giving their testimony about Jesus Christ. And those that were there, and there were many Jews gathered for this particular festival to celebrate Pentecost. That was one of three different times that they would gather in Jerusalem and to celebrate and to remember all that God had done through the people and the prophets of old. And of course, all of those things were foreshadowing the work of Jesus Christ. So there were many people there and from very different regions of the Roman Empire, and they came and they spoke various languages. Well, when the apostles stood up and began to speak, those that were gathered there were able to hear what was being communicated by the apostles in their own native language. So we see that this wasn't a mystery language. God was enabling either the apostles to speak in those particular tongues or enabling the listeners to hear what they were saying in their own language. So it was miraculous. It was certainly supernatural in that sense, but he was using common languages to communicate the testimony concerning Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. And we see that going forth through the book of Acts. Then Paul talks about the abuse of the gift of tongues in 1 Corinthians chapters 12 and 14. And what was happening was the Corinthians, they had temple worship. There was prostitution that was involved in their religious worship of that day, and they would speak in these ecstatic utterances. And when the gospel started to make headway in that particular city, a lot of those who were coming to Christ brought over those ecstatic utterances into the body of Christ, and they were causing all types of confusion. And so what Paul did was to call them on the carpet concerning that. And he was saying, yes, there's a real gift of tongues. There is something that the Spirit of God gives to certain people within the body of Christ for the benefit of the body of Christ. And so he was saying, but there's a greater gift. That's the gift of prophecy. That's the gift of speaking in plain language, the good news concerning Jesus. And so that's what he talks about. So there was this ecstatic utterance that was kind of from a pagan ritual that was going on in Corinth of that day. They were trying to bring it into the body of Christ. And Paul was saying, no, that's not, that particular thing is not from God. There is a gift of the Spirit that is from God. It would be used in evangelistic situations. Some people can speak in tongues individually. That's something that could be an encouragement to them, but that's not necessarily a benefit to the body of Christ. And what Paul wanted them to think about is something beyond themselves, that they are a part of something bigger than themselves, that they truly are a member of this body of Christ. And this body of Christ at large has a mission to carry out in the world today. And these spiritual gifts were to equip the body, to encourage the body, to build up the body. So if I have a gift of teaching, that gift of teaching would be to benefit the body of Christ so that the body of Christ can carry out its mission out there in the world. So that's what spiritual gifts were all about. And Paul just came down pretty hard on the Corinthian church for their abuse, specifically of that gift of tongues. Now, as far as prophecy is concerned, here is a wonderful passage in Revelation 19:10, and it basically says this: for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So what is spirit? What is prophecy? What is the spirit of prophecy? It is delivering the testimony concerning Jesus. So the Word of God, as I've said so many times, the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation is God's testimony concerning His Son. So that's God has been testifying concerning His Son, and He's done so through the prophets of old. As Jesus said to the Pharisees, you diligently search the Scriptures in hopes that you will find eternal life, but these are the Scriptures that bear witness of me. So the message of the law, the message of the prophets, the message of the wisdom writings is a message, a singular message about Jesus. It's a testimony concerning Jesus. And then Jesus came on the scene, and the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, told his story, told the story of his birth, told the story, just bits and pieces of his childhood. And then they gave a lot of detail about his ministry and the miracles that he did and the things that he taught. And then they told the story of his death, burial, and resurrection. So they joined in on the chorus of God's testimony concerning Jesus. And then Paul and Peter and John and James and the folks that completed the canon, they explained what Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection means, how that was a fulfillment of all the prophecies of old, and that through Jesus you and I can be blessed. So the gift of prophecy is going to move someone to give a very clear and sharp and forceful, powerful explanation of the testimony of Jesus Christ. So these spiritual gifts are to enable the body of Christ to give that testimony of Jesus out there in the world in both word and deed. And then the spirit of prophecy, or the gift of prophecy, is to speak that world word boldly concerning the testimony of Jesus.
Amen. And I believe that. That's what I figured. That's exactly what I read. So I didn't know that the utterance you were talking about, that pagan utterance, that started a long time ago, years ago, with the those pagan Corinthians or whatever.
Yeah, that was one of the practices in that Corinthian church. And it was probably practiced in a lot of pagan places and, you know, can even be practiced in some pagan places today. Human beings are enamored by supernatural. Of course, there are a lot of people that deny the supernatural. They're just totally materialistic. Naturalism is kind of a worldview that everything that happens can be explained by the laws of physics or the laws of nature. We don't have to have a God, or we don't have to have supernatural realms to give explanations to things that occur. But the vast majority of human beings are enamored by the thought there's a supernatural. And lots and lots of religious practices, there are some rituals that would involve ecstatic utterances to try to reach God and draw near to him. So they're using those in a very legalistic viewpoint. If we do this in such a super, quote, supernatural way, then maybe we can reach God and find out what he's like.
And if you don't do like they're doing, then they'll make it seem like something's wrong with you.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Well, Daron, I did a basic gospel answer on our YouTube channel concerning prophecy today and how we really need to pay attention to what's being said. And a lot of people who claim to be prophets are giving false prophecies. Why? Because they're not giving the clear testimony concerning Jesus Christ. But I would encourage you to go to our YouTube channel and any of our listeners to do the same. And I think that would be a valuable YouTube video to watch.
Okay, well, thank you so much. And like I say, I'm getting more and more clearer understanding, because that confused me for many years.
Yeah, I certainly understand, Daron. It confuses a lot of us. So hope that was helpful. Thanks for your call.
Thank y'all.
Okay, well, let's quickly go to Pittsburgh and talk to Dave. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Bob. How you doing, bud?
Doing well.
Hey, question for you, bud. Is it easier to love God with all our heart than our neighbor next door? And the reason why I ask that is, how can we love God with all our heart? You know what I mean?
Well, here's how it happens. In and of ourselves, we can't do that. Our hearts were wicked and beyond deceit. But here's what God did, and it says in chapter 30 of Deuteronomy, verse 6, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring, so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, that you may live. So at salvation, our hearts are circumcised. So God gives us a new heart, and it's out of this new heart that we want to trust Jesus. And that's what it means for us to love God. When we trust Jesus, we're expressing love for God the Father. So God has given us a heart of belief. So we were once unbelievers. We had unbelieving hearts. But now through the good news of Jesus Christ and the fact that God has circumcised our hearts, that heart has changed. It went from a heart of unbelief to a heart of belief. And when we trust the Lord, we're expressing our love for God the Father.
So love and trust are synonymous.
As far as our relationship with God the Father is concerned, absolutely. We trust him because we know that he loves us.
Okay, great. Thanks, Bob.
You're welcome.
Bud.
Thanks for your call, Dave. God bless. Well, this is Basic Gospel. Thanks for being with us today. This time just went by in such a hurry. We'll be back tomorrow for another live edition. If you have questions, concerns, Bible passages, we encourage you to call in tomorrow. Call in early. Be a part of the broadcast. We will point you into the Word of God to encourage you and to help you in your walk with Jesus Christ. thank you for helping us financially to get this program on the air, and we certainly need your help this month. Go to basicgospel.net and become a part of Basic Gospel Nation. We'll see you tomorrow.